Cofield and Company's Eye on Sports Betting with Sammy P.
All right, let's do it. Kicking off the 4 o'clock hour, ESPN Reno, ESPN Las Vegas. Adam Hill is here. Sam Panayotovich is on the horn. What's up, Sam?
I'm just laughing at all those people, man, that came out of the woodwork to lay the Lions in Survivor. How do we do that as a society? How do we get to that point after 30 years, actually even longer than that, 60 years of bad football? We want to lay the Lions in week two of Survivor. We get what we paid for, right?
Was there anyone else who crushed the Survivor and knocked a bunch of people out?
So the Broncos were pretty big. That was one that people were very willing to lay Denver.
Yep.
And, well, you and I talked last week. The two biggest ones I thought were going to be San Francisco and Buffalo, and those are pretty easy. But really, it was the Denver, it was Detroit, and the third team. Who was the third team? I can't remember now. But, yeah, there were three teams that were pretty big, but nothing as drastic as, Arizona would have been week number one.
Was there a reason not to take the Cowboys? Like, you're saving them for later in the season?
Yeah, I think those Thanksgiving teams are always interesting. Oh, so this year, the big ones are Dallas and San Francisco. The third game is Detroit, Green Bay, which is basically a coin flip at this point in time. I mean, Green Bay is going to maybe be a one-point favorite. Maybe a one-point dog. We'll see how things shake out. But, yeah, I mean, you have to save the two teams, or one of the two teams, rather, on Thanksgiving, because they're going to be substantial favorites. I mean, Dallas against Washington is probably, by the time we get to November, that might be 9, maybe 10. And then San Francisco against Seattle, obviously San Fran's going to be favored there. But, yeah, I'm going to save Dallas. In the pools I'm still in, I'm going to save Dallas for Thanksgiving. And you have to do that. You also have to save some teams for the Christmas week, because there's a couple games on Saturday. So you have to save for that on top of the Sunday. So, yeah, it's always strategy. But I find it funny that people every year go, well, I can't use Buffalo, or I can't use this team, and then they bet the Lions in Survivor.
Yeah,
it's just always funny.
Yeah, I'm worried about week 7 and 8. No, you got to get through week 2. This week, Jaguars? Would that be the most obvious one? Or did C.J. Stroud throwing the ball over the yard that makes the Texans a little bit scary?
I mean, the Jags are pretty obvious, but the Jags are also substantially better than Houston. So I don't, I haven't put in my picks yet. I would say that's probably up there. I mean, look, San Francisco is going to be a popular one on Thursday, 10-point favorites against the Giants. Sort of an under-the-radar one, I would think, would be New England against the Jets because, Zach Wilson against Belichick. Yeah, well, look, Zach Wilson against Belichick is just, he ain't it. And the Patriots have owned the Jets for, the better part of 15 years now. I really think that offense is in trouble. And if there's one game the Patriots are going to win early in the season, it's that one. New England's a 3-point road favorite. And then, obviously, the elephant in the room is, do you want to burn Kansas City right now? Kansas City's like a 13-point favorite against Chicago. I would probably keep the Chiefs, but I don't think Justin Fields and the Bears are going to beat the Chiefs.
Yeah. Not the way it's looking right now. And keep in mind, Survivor, for the audience that's not familiar with it, straight-up picks. You're just trying to get a winner each week. Betting on the point spread, though, the real way of making these picks. I already got two bets in, and I'm always trying, if I bet early in the week, I'm trying to bet where the line is going to go. And apparently the Steelers didn't impress a lot of people yesterday. Are the Raiders 2 right now? Because I bet the Steelers had a pick. Oops.
Yeah, I mean, depending on where you shop, Raiders are 2, even 2.5. Oh. But I don't know that the Steelers can score 2 defensive touchdowns in every game. I mean, that seems a little unrealistic. I actually came out of the shed and bet a second half Browns money line, which I thought was a good bet until Deshaun Watson fumbled with like 8 minutes to go. I mean, the Browns were in total control in the third quarter, and heading into the fourth, they were in control. But then, this is the NFL. There's a lot of wonky stuff that happens. I mean, There are so many things that work against a team that looked really great the previous week, and then you kind of don't want to go back to the well in week number 2. The Raiders, I mean, a perfect example of that. I remember asking you last week, I'm like, hey, like, the Raiders have no shot, right? And you were like, I mean, they could if this happens and that happens, but But really, yeah. usually the teams that look good,
right.
you know, say week one, don't look good in week two. So, I mean, that was a buzzsaw. I mean, they got blown out by Buffalo. Buffalo really could have probably ran it up a little bit more. But, yeah, I'm seeing Raiders minus -2, 2.5 now against Pittsburgh. What's the other one you got?
The other game, I bet, I took the Packers against the Saints. And I don't love the Packers, but I think the Saints are due for a little drop-off here where they don't win one of these close games. So I got the Packers -2, but I might not have got the best number because who knows where it's going to go later in the week.
Yeah, I mean, currently you're looking at some Green Bay pick and Green Bay -1. You know, the Saints defense is really good, but I mean, I've watched the Saints now in both weeks because I am an investor this year in Atlanta. I've got Atlanta over the win total, Atlanta to win the South. I mean, Derek Carr just ain't it. And we've, you know, you, Hill, and I have talked about this for a long time. Like, he threw some balls yesterday that you just should not throw as a savvy 8-year vet in the NFL. I mean, the interception in the second quarter was just pathetic. And, you know, you're all used to that face in Vegas where he goes to the sideline and rips his helmet off, throws it on the ground, and then stares off into the distance and just shakes his head. And it's like, yeah, dude, you've been doing this every single month. Like, at some point in this season, you are going to make just a dumbass throw. And he did it again last night. And, you know, New Orleans should have really won that game by 10, maybe 14, and they're escaping against a rookie quarterback as a 3-point favorite. They win by 3. It's just, I don't think New Orleans is that good. I think the Packers have a lot more to offer, so I do like the Packers play on your part.
You might disagree with me here based on the fact that you said people are overreacted in the positive way on the Lions and that you love the Falcons this year, but Desmond Ridder stinks, man. Like, he's not good. And I love everything else about the Falcons. Arthur Smith made some really, really good decisions on Sunday. The defense is good. They can really run the ball. I don't think they can consistently win with Desmond Ridder at quarterback.
Well, again, I need him to win 9 games and win maybe the weakest division in football. What? It's not like I think the Falcons are going to win the NFC or the Super Bowl.
This week. I meant this week against the Lions, yeah. I guess, what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I was going to get there. Yeah, I think this is a bad spot for the Falcons. I mean, let's also consider that Atlanta's been home in the first 2 games, so now you hit the road for the first time, and that's always an adjustment. We know that Ridder is not going to win them games with his arm. I mean, he's going to basically manage the game, hand the ball off a whole lot, run some RPO, and then don't turn it over. But look, I mean, Desmond Ridder had over, what, would he have 240 yards through the air and 60 yards on the ground? I mean, he was close to 300 total yards, and for a second-year quarterback that's only started 5 or 6 times, I don't think that's bad. I don't think he's going to, you know, win Super Bowls. But as for this week, this is a really bad spot. I mean, you get the Lions off a loss. They're going to be motivated. They're going to be ready to go. Dan Campbell to me is Paul Bunyan. He's just so dumb. And I he eats chalkboards and, you know, lifts weights and all that, and that's fine and dandy, but I wouldn't trust him. Like, if you're down 4 points at your own 20 with 2 minutes to go, I wouldn't trust that guy for anything. So I'm certainly not one to lay points more times than not. But I do agree with you. I think your main point is that this is a bad spot for a young Falcons team on the road, and I do agree with that.
Was Paul Bunyan dumb?
Paul Bunyan's a moron, yeah. You don't know that right now?
He's a big galoot that just cuts things down. I don't know if he's dumb.
He's very dumb. Well, I don't think. Hold on. Here's the question of the day for the ESPN Las Vegas audience: does Paul Bunyan have a high school diploma? What do we think?
Probably not. He's street smart, yeah. Man. He's out there cutting trees. He knows what he's doing.
He's got one thing. He's like Seth Rogen in that movie. He's only got the dice move. He's only got the chop. That's all he's got. He's got nothing else.
That's fair. I think it's an accurate description. I mean, Dan Campbell really is just a big galoot. I like him though. He's likable.
I like him, but he's an idiot. I mean, it's fine. He's got grit. He's got toughness. He got hired because he's a former player, and that's the type of guy that puts a helmet on and runs into a brick wall. But that's not a guy that I want scripting a game plan for me down the stretch. You know what I mean? Like, I think it was a funny conversation, you know, a week ago when we were looking at the Coach of the Year market, and you guys know I have Mike McDaniel at 20-1 and 23-1, and he's now the favorite. And, you know, the market last week told us that Dan Campbell was a better coach than Mike McDaniel. And I thought, in no world is that true.
In no world.
In no world. In no world.
That's awesome. Did you get what you wanted, one, out of watching CSU and Colorado, and then the spread that was set with Colorado and Oregon?
Well, that line was awful. I mean, we knew that was eventually going to happen. You know, the pigs always get fat and then get slaughtered. I mean, Colorado, on the look ahead, I remember the Golden Nugget put the game of the year lines out for Colorado and Colorado State. The line was 10, and they were right in good two-way. So, you know, for a guy like me who always tries to take advantage of market inefficiencies, to take 24 and 23.5 with Colorado State was a layup, in my opinion. And I'm sure you saw my ticket on Twitter. I had Colorado State to win the game outright, and that was a good bet, too. I mean, they were, you know, 10-11-1, and they got an 11-point lead with 8 minutes to go or whatever. I didn't like, you know, now I'm being called all kinds of things, including a cracker on the internet for not liking Colorado to lay 24 points, which, again, is a different conversation for a different day. You know, Colorado is very pompous and arrogant and confident and cocky, and they have a freaking throne on their sideline when they score touchdowns. Whoever scores a touchdown jumps into the throne. I mean, Colorado is flashy, and a lot of people don't like that. And you know, anybody who challenges that is labeled as something, and I hate that. It's like, all right, you're going to shove this thing in my face for 3-4 weeks now, and I can't root against it, which is what it is. But and then you look ahead. I mean, the line opened, I think FanDuel opened 17.5, mm-hmm. which was clearly a bad number because now the Oregon Ducks are laying 20.5 to 21.
Right.
This is the first game where Colorado is going to get, and I don't want to mince words here, Colorado will be dominated in the trenches. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that Oregon's going to cover a big number, but I would be very, very cautious taking 21 with the dog this week because this could be a game that's 35-7 at half, and we all know what happens after that.
What do you want to do with Ohio State and Notre Dame?
It's funny. I was talking to a guy who's very good at college football, and I came into this thinking about the Irish. Because I said, you know, I really think this line shows respect for Notre Dame. They have a quarterback in Sam Hartman who's very good at throwing the ball down the field. They've got a good line, good running game. And I said, you know, I think this -3 number is a good sign for Notre Dame. And my buddy volleys it right back and goes, yeah, but I'm going to lay everything I have on Ohio State -3. And I thought, oh, well, all right, we've got a brawl now. I mean, I think the numbers guys are going to lay 3 because, again, this look-ahead spot in the summer was Ohio State -9.5, 10. And we have sort of left Ohio State where it was before the season, but we have upgraded Notre Dame a lot. The sharpest guys I know are going to lay 3 with Ohio State. Take that, you know, for what you will. I think this line is a true indication that Notre Dame has closed the gap against Ohio State. I'm not going to make a single bet on this one. I'm going to stay far, far away. I hope Notre Dame can pull the upset here because it would be nice to see them back in the national spotlight, but it does sort of feel cheap on Ohio State -3.
Last couple seconds, and I really only have a couple seconds. My dog play of the week, because I like betting the big numbers, I am going to take Arizona State, even though they looked terrible last week against USC. They're getting 35.
Applaud your effort.
Take some stones.
I think it's a good move. You know they're on quarterback 4, though, right, buddy?
I get it. It's got to be a little fight in these guys. Got to be a little bit of fight. Something.
All right.
Something. All right, Sam. We appreciate it. Thank you for being flexible. Have fun tonight.
All right. See you.
There he is. Sam Paniatovich. Adam Hill. Steve Cofield is starting off the 4 o'clock hour. It's brought to you by Battleborne Injury Lawyers. 766-1400. Call from anywhere in the state of Nevada.
Cofield and Company, live on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Sports Reno.
Want to get to the Wolfpack here in a second. ESPN Reno, ESPN Las Vegas. I got to follow up my bet, my play that I mentioned at the end of the spot there with Sam Paniatovich. Arizona State is coming off a drubbing at the hands of Fresno. One, Fresno's really good. Two, and this is going to sound very infantile and elementary, teams have bad games. They do, right? And college football is very up and down. Sam had mentioned at the end of the spot, good luck with that, as Arizona State's down to their fourth quarterback. They're not. And I'm here to tell you that they're at programs that have Yeah, in this case, it's Jaden Rashada. Jaden Rashada didn't blow the competition out of the water. He's the best guy for the future. Well, he's not going to play, the true freshman out of Florida. Their backup is Drew Pine, who we got to see last year. He's not great, but he played at Notre Dame. Their third stringer got five starts last year. So I'll reiterate my case here. And the other thing that I like about Arizona State, I think they come off the deck. I'm getting 35 against a USC defense that has trouble stopping people, especially late in the game. USC's next game, because I also like to play the look-ahead factor, their next game is?
Colorado?
Yes. So I wonder what their focus is going to be, seeing a team that just lost to a Mountain West team 29-0 to blow them off the field by 60. Now, that said, I also had some bets this weekend where I had teams plus 42.5, and I think they lost 70-0. So it could happen.
It could.
It could. It could happen. It could happen. Listen, there were a lot of people who had the Wolfpack dead and buried. Like, Kansas is going to go on the road, lay in 28, and just blow them off the field. That's not what happened. Shannon Kelly's with us from Nevada Sportsnet. Sorry about the long lead in there. How are you? Shannon, how are you?
Hey there. I'm doing good.
Okay, so I was given some rationale in college football that every week can be a little bit different. The kids are motivated, you know, some weeks at a super high level, other weeks maybe not so much. The sense I got going into the Kansas game at 0-2 and riding a 12-game losing streak was that that was a very angry Nevada team that came up short, but that was one of the best efforts of the season.
Absolutely. No doubt. If you guys would have asked me, you know, last week, hey, is Nevada going to come up a touchdown short and make it this close against Kansas? I would have said no based off the outcome that we saw from that Idaho game. But this team certainly was fired up and they were ready to go and really kept it neck and neck. It was an exciting game for the most part. And this is a Wolfpack team that we haven't seen so far this season, so it'll be interesting to see now how the team fares when they hit the road for Texas State this weekend.
What did you think the difference was on the Kansas side? What allowed them to win the game?
Well, I think, you know, Brendan Lewis, the quarterback, really showing his capabilities, his dual threat abilities, one of the big reasons why, you know, the Wolfpack coaching staff was excited to bring him here. Being a dual threat quarterback, he was able to run. He scored two touchdowns. You know, we haven't seen that out of him this season. I think they had a couple explosive plays, not too many really, but also, you know, I don't think Kansas probably played their best game either. They had a lot of penalties. You know, who knows, maybe playing at altitude, playing at the different time change, maybe threw them off a little bit playing so late at night. I don't think that was the Kansas team that, you know, showed up the first 2 weeks of the season necessarily. You know, their offense was pretty stellar, but not the firepower that we saw out of them these first 2 weeks.
Yeah, again, with the pack, with the run game, and you mentioned Lewis, and that's one of the first things I noticed because obviously I'm looking ahead working on the UNLV broadcast team. You know, I'm watching that game and I'm thinking, hey, what's Lewis going to do against the Rebels and how do they defend him? Do not give him an inch to go outside because I thought I think it was the second touchdown on the perimeter. I was like, there's no way he's getting in. And then, you know, a couple seconds later, I'm like, there's no way they're catching him. His burst to turn the corner is really impressive.
It is. It is. And I think on that second one, I think he faked it as well and then took it in, if I'm remembering correctly here. And yeah, I mean, I didn't think, I was like, oh, is he going to do this? And yes, sure enough, he was. And he was able to. And I think it surprised a lot of us, honestly, because we just haven't seen that out of him yet. So, I mean, if he can continue that, I think, you know, that sets up the Wolfpack pretty well. And if the offensive line can continue to improve, Coach Wilson said after, you know, he's been pleased with their improvement. Still a lot of work to go, but you know, he was pleased with their improvement. So it will be interesting to see as the weeks lead on here now, and Mountain West play will begin soon.
I know there's some UNLV fans that have taken a lot of delight the last couple of weeks that Reno has been ranked number 133 out of 133 by a couple of outlets in terms of college football programs. Is that something that's been talked about of motivation? Because they certainly didn't look like it this week. And I just wonder if that's the kind of thing they throw on the bulletin board and say, hey, look, this is what people think of you.
I don't think so necessarily, only because we've asked Coach Wilson a few times, you know, about the outside noise per se, you know, the Mountain West preseason poll, some of the other things. And he said, hey, we can't look at it when we're winning and doing well, and we can't look at it when we're losing and not doing well either. So from our perspective, I don't think so. I mean, I'm sure the players probably talk about it. You know, I'm sure they talk about, hey, we haven't won a game in more than a year, you know, and they want that staff to change. But from our perspective, you know, he said, hey, that they don't talk about that kind of stuff. But certainly you would think internally that that's tough. You know, you don't want to be that team. Nobody wants to be that team. Nobody wants to lose games. And, you know, they want to win football games. And, you know, we saw last week definitely a massive improvement from the Idaho game a week prior.
Shannon Kelly, Nevada Sportsnet, getting ready for another Nevada game. This time it's on the road. It's against Texas State. They're getting 17 in this one. Have you been able to scout, do some research on Texas State? Because they that is one of the games I was talking about. Jackson State went from plus 24 to plus 20.5, and they wound up losing 77-34. So clearly Texas – yeah, that would not have been a good bet. When the number went down, I was like, I'm not taking that. Texas State is high-powered, and it's not just because of 77 points. This is an impressive team, and in a lot of ways, they may be more high-powered offensively than Kansas.
Yeah, in a lot of ways. We saw last year, you know, Nevada played Texas State. That was their last win. But a lot of parodies here because the following week, Nevada played Incarnate Word, and now Incarnate Word's former coach is now as Texas State, as their head coach, G.J. Kinney. So we saw what his offense was able to do, and it was very explosive. So it's no surprise that the Bobcats have, you know, gotten off to the start that they have and how offensively, how strong they've been so far. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how Nevada shakes up, you know, how they fare against Texas State. They're on the road, so you don't have your home crowd. But that Incarnate Word game last year was pretty back and forth for a little bit. Still didn't fall in the Wolfpack's favor, but I think this one will be another a good test. If we can see what we saw out of the Wolfpack last week, I think they will have a good chance again.
I think you did a feature this week on a native of Texas who's going back kind of to his home area, who plays for the Wolfpack. Am I correct on that?
Yeah. Yes, you are.
Tell us about him.
Yeah, Isaiah Assisima, the Wolfpack corner. He transferred to Nevada ahead of the 2021 season under Jay Norvell. He actually caught the game-winning interception in the season opener against Cal to help seal the win. So got his foot off on the right track here at Nevada in a big game. He transferred over from Wake Forest. He was there for two seasons, but grew up near Houston. So not too far away, a couple hours away, but he said he's really excited just to be able to play at home. And the game against USC earlier this year was the first time his family has been able to watch him in a Wolfpack uniform. So he'd certainly be a pretty special one for him, but he's certainly one of the leaders in the Wolfpack secondary, which needs to continue to play better as the season goes on if they want to try and be competitive.
Before you did some research on travel plans, did you know where Texas State was exactly? Because I did not.
You know, vaguely, only okay. Because Nevada had played Texas State last year, so I vaguely knew, but didn't entirely know how close it was to Austin until I just did some research here recently. But yeah, if you would have asked me a couple months ago, I would have said no.
Are you flying to San Antonio or Austin?
Flying into Austin.
Okay.
Flying into Austin.
Well, you could,
yeah.
You could just stay in Austin. There's cool stuff to do in Austin. I don't know about San
there
Marcos.
There is. Yeah, from what I've heard it's cool. I've never been. I've never been to Texas at all. So I don't know if I'm in for an experience. I don't know.
All right. Well, closing out, give us a prediction here. Can this losing streak be halted in Texas?
Man, putting me on the spot here. I think it can. I know. I think it can, though. Let's see. I think I'm going to go, Nevada 35, Texas State 32.
Whoa, okay.
I don't know. I feel like they're bound to have a win at some point. It has to happen. Something's got to click at some point. So I think on paper, obviously, Texas State, you know, they're going to have a home crowd. They're going to be the home team. So it's not going to surprise me if they come out and win, but also it wouldn't surprise me either if Nevada one of these weeks gets a win, because they haven't had a win in so long, and it's bound to happen one of these games. So
all right,
we'll see, but I think it should be a good one.
Pressure's on. We'll mark that whole statement next time you're on.
We may mock you.
We may play some highlights. So now the Wolfpack really need to win. By the way, all my picks are actually erased immediately. There's no mocking on me as the lead of the show, so that's the way it works.
Oh, Okay, so then my picks can be erased then next time.
No, they're locked down. All right, Shannon, have a good trip. We'll talk to you soon. And, yeah, the battle for the cannon is closer than everyone knows right now. Well, they should if they looked at the schedule. But it's not at the end of the season. It's in the middle of October, so it's right around the corner.
Yes, it is. Thanks, guys, for
we'll
having me on.
We'll see you. So the quarterback situation for Texas State is pretty interesting. T.J. Finley is the guy who's the throwing quarterback. He is, ready for this one, 6'7 and 255 pounds. He was at Auburn. He was at LSU. Now he's landed at Texas State. The backup who doesn't get to really throw the ball is Malik Hornsby, who was, from my understanding, a pretty big target of Barry Odom and company because he was at Arkansas. And I thought he would have been a really good developmental guy. Well, now we look at the situation for the Rebels. It looks like they've got a good developmental guy in Jalen Maiava, right? But Hornsby, I think, could have been a really good weapon because he is a big dude who can haul you-know-what, and he's been a really good weapon for Texas State. So we'll see.
To beat Baylor.
We'll see if Nevada can keep up. They're getting 17 in Texas against Texas State.
Cofield and Company, live on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Sports Reno.
Are you taking particular joy in the Wolfpack struggles?
No.
Okay. Well, you are a UNLV guy after you're a Michigan guy.
Sure. It was a very conflicted week last week, people were asking, but luckily it was just, I was covering it, so it was just the game.
Okay.
Just robots on the field.
Are you conflicted for me this week?
Rutgers, Michigan?
We've been doing the show a long time. I think you care about me at times.
No, I don't.
Can you root for like something somewhat competitive?
No.
You just want me to get freaking face stomped?
Yeah.
Curb stomped?
Look, it's about national titles at this point. We can't delay and have like a tough week. Plus, it's, you know, Jim's back.
Yep. I think it makes a massive difference. And they don't have a wound. But they didn't play that well last week, and McCarthy was sloppy. And they traditionally Rutgers has been a little more competitive the last couple of years, but there was the, I think it was 78-0 about 5 years ago, where Harbaugh just curb-stomped everyone at Rutgers.
Well, it was also
– by the way, the motivation will be easy. They're also going against a team that thinks it's pretty good. They are pretty good defensively, but it's custom-made for Michigan to roll it up on them because once Michigan gets out to a lead, Rutgers can't throw the ball. So it's just going to be like mistake after mistake, and it's a 24-point spread. After the what was the score last week? Was it 30-3? I think it was 30-3
for Michigan. You're saying?
Yeah.
Well, it's also
it was 35-7 against UNLV. It was 30-3 last week. It was again manageable in week number one.
It's also
it was not a giant blowout.
Sorry, the WNBA game was on in here, and I was like, what? It looks like Fat Joe is there, and then they just showed him on the screen. It is Fat Joe.
Just
Michigan,
another fat ball guy.
This sounds like the ultimate excuse of all time. Night games at Michigan are very weird. They're very weird because they didn't have them. They just put in lights less than a decade ago.
I saw a promo for the game, and they have this like big light show that goes on the stadium, but it only works if there's no one there, I think.
Yeah, it's weird.
I mean, I don't mean they can't use it with people in the stands. They could, but it'd be blinded by these. It's just for like TV. They put in these flashing lights.
Well, they debuted it.
A couple extra hundred bucks on the lights.
Yeah, that was the debut of it this week. So it's just weird. They just very rarely have them. The energy's always off. It's a different atmosphere. So not that that's a reason, but the energy is always weird in those games. So I wasn't taking too much out of it. And
31-6, by the way, I had the score way off.
And look, they could have rolled against UNLV, and they chose not to.
Whoa.
They could have. They chose not to. Like, they're not trying to beat teams 100-0.
96-16 so far.
Yeah, they're shutting teams down
defensively.
Instead
of 210-25.
They are, you know, they stopped trying to score late in the second quarter against UNLV. They kind of did the same thing. They were only up 7-6 in the second quarter this week, and then they shut them down defensively but weren't trying to score necessarily on offense. So they're not trying to take teams to the woodshed right now. Hmm. I think they could if they wanted to.
Must be nice to have the option, right, Damon?
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, it must be nice.
By the way, JVT yesterday was kind of laughing at your quarterback.
Who, McCarthy?
Being a Heisman candidate.
Why? Should be right there.
Also, I think he was kind of laughing at McCarthy being a better pro prospect than Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah, I don't think McCarthy is a huge pro prospect.
Oh, he's a pro prospect to be a backup.
Drafted.
He's a pro prospect to have 13 years in a league.
Yeah, he'll get drafted for sure. But I mean,
for obvious reasons.
Yeah, of course. I think he's a very, very good football player. First of all, even with being injured, I've said before, if Travis Hunter's not the Heisman Trophy winner, just get rid of the award. Like, what are we doing?
Well, he's not going to be the winner now. He's out.
He's out like 4 weeks. I don't care. As soon as he comes back.
He won't be as good.
Who else is contributing on both sides? And nobody.
Right.
Zachariah Branch. I mean, special teams he's and playing, offense.
Sure, sure. He's playing 70 plays a game on both sides of the ball.
So if he misses four games, that's through seven. So he's got five or six left. I don't want to make another bet. I got to think about this during a break. Adam has not.
No,
been
I don't
one
think they're going to give it to him. I'm just saying.
No, I don't want a Heisman bet. I want a reception bet. I want to see him go back on the field and run with reckless abandon on all these routes after what happened to him against CSU.
It's Cofield and Company, live on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Sports Reno.
Damon is here. He's got a presence, no doubt, no doubt.
Hot mic.
Adam Hill, Steve Cofield, 5 o'clock hours coming up. We're going to talk to Miles Simmons. And then we got a ton of NFL with Miles, and then after Miles, some more. Well, I was going to play Patrick Graham some sound later on, but I don't know. You sounded like you weren't happy with the press conference performances today. So kind of a carryover, a lull.
You mean
from the game on Sunday?
My weekly one-on-one with the coordinators you're talking about?
Yeah, that's a weird one. We'll have to set that up. No one shows up, huh?
No. Today was one of the biggest turnouts in a year and a half. Three people total.
You know, Tuesday is one of my busy days with UNLV. But I don't have to watch the beginning of practice.
Yeah, get over there. It's usually 11 o'clock.
11?
11 a.m.
Group trip.
I was hoping it was earlier. But yeah, I need to get down there. Yeah. Everyone raised their hands, one, if they've been watching season two of Winning Time.
I've watched a couple of them. I'm saving a lot of it.
Nothing? You're not watching it?
I started the first one. I said, I know it's going to get canceled. I'm going to spoil it. Yeah. I know it's
going to. Why?
When I saw Jeff Perlman put out that tweet of like, come on, guys, we need
your
support.
What did Perlman say? He's one of the guys. He wrote the book. What did Perlman say? That
it was before the season even started. He put out one of those tweets like, hey, guys, with the writer's strike, everything going on, we need the viewership since the actors can't promote the show. You know, we need eyeballs on this.
It could always come back for a season three a couple years from now.
He's already working on, there were some tweets today, like, how can we buy this show and keep it going?
Right.
And Perlman.
Yeah, put it somewhere Perlman's else.
Perlman's encouraging people to do that.
It's not going to be the same without HBO.
I think O'Shea Jackson Jr., I believe, was angling to buy the show.
But will he be able to put the budget behind it the way HBO can?
It's not cash.
How do we not cover the 90s into the early 2000s?
We don't even get to cover the three-peat.
I know.
The show starts with Magic finding out he has AIDS. We're not even going to get to that point.
We are. Someone's going to pick it up.
Yeah, no, I'm saying during this run of,
someone has to.
Are they going to be able to pay, like, every Oscar-nominated actor that the show has?
There's a lot of them.
I still don't know the guy who plays Jerry West, but I love him. And I love if Jerry West was that way. And I love that they keep denying it. I love that season two just kept going with, and I've mentioned this a million times, they keep going with Jerry West as being just this cantankerous, like, stressed out coffee drinker who, like, hates his life, hates basketball because he never got his just due when he played. And there's no one I love more than the Chick Hearn character. I love it. He's such a D.
By the way,
I so want to find out from people in the know if he was that way. Because he was a very good broadcaster. But, my God, the stuff they show with him, and then he's like, yeah. Well, the stop sign is brilliant. You know, I love that one. I've cut that out of my repertoire for the most part.
No, you're trying. I think you saw the error of your ways from the show, and you're like, oh, that is obnoxious. Okay, I'm not going to do that anymore. But I would say,
You know what though? I would do it as a play-by-play guy. There are rules. Don't step on my GDM call. Okay. I might do it.
I will say I didn't. There's somebody that has a very close connection with the West family that I know very well.
And what do they say?
And I didn't know that until the show.
Okay.
So as I was talking about the show, the person said, by the way, you know my connection with them, right? And I said, oh.
Did you lock up or can you follow up?
No, I've talked about it extensively.
Did you get it? Did you get the information?
Yeah, not that inaccurate.
Yep.
Now, I will say
you don't always know the real person, and also he's lived a life.
But this person,
so maybe he could have changed over the years.
This person said the same thing I did. Like, it's not that inaccurate, but it's not. They were not attacking him. They were like that. He's just very passionate. He cares a lot, which is what I said too. I was like, I don't think this is an attack on him.
No, it's
showing that he cares a lot.
Did I call him a jerk?
No. Other people have him.
No, I think I said he just seems like he was drinking coffee back in the day and very angry about the way his career went. He was great. He's the friggin' logo, but he couldn't beat the Celtics, and that competitive fire continues. Now he wants to win through his guys on the Lakers. And then, you haven't watched it yet. Did you see the whole?
I haven't got it all the way through.
You're not going to watch it, are you?
Probably not. Now that I know it's canceled.
Why? You're going to watch as much as they've made? You're the reason it's canceled. You won't watch it.
Why don't you stick with it?
I had a feeling.
You're the worst.
Can I tell you, I don't like the guy who was cast as Larry Bird.
Oh, my God.
He's the best.
Is you're good? Absurd.
I didn't like the way he looked. I was like,
he's great. Well, no one likes the way Larry Bird looks.
Yeah, he looks like Larry Bird.
Yeah, you know how hard it is? Well, I was going to say how hard it is to find someone who looks like that from the Midwest. Not that hard.
They're all the same.
But he might be tall. I can't tell.
He's also got to be able to play.
He has to be able to play, at least look
in
natural.
Jeans.
He is cocky. And then there was a minute where I watched and I was like, oh, I kind of feel bad for Larry Bird. Because he had some tragedy in his life, and then once they got back to the games, I was like, man, I remember why I didn't like him.
Yeah, he's the worst.
He was great.
Not a fan.
Adrian Brody looked like he was crushing it, though.
He's great.
See him beat Pat Riley for another 30 years.
So good.
So many great performances in the show. It can't go away. It's got to be picked up. Can we start a GoFundMe?
We can start it.
How about?
See if we can buy it?
I know you get mad. So, again, if you're just tuning in, we're talking about Winning Time. We haven't hit on it in a while. HBO is going to cancel it after two seasons, and maybe it comes back down the road. But a lot of it could be because of the actors and a writer strike. I love when they bring in, like, moments of sports history, and you realize how dumb executives were back in the day.
Which one?
Well, one, what was the, let's go back for a second. What was the Sonny Vaccaro, what was the movie again? What was it called? With Jordan, where he's never in it?
Air.
And you didn't like it because of the betting nonsense at the beginning. Yeah. But there was a moment where they're looking at, it was at Nike. They're looking at the draft board and they're bringing up players like, oh, that should be our guy. And it was like Mel Turpin.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if that was real, if there was someone fighting in the Nike room to get dinner bell Mel Turpin, who rest in peace.
Over Jordan.
Like, yeah, he's going to be a really valuable guy.
Jordan
like,
wasn't the first pick.
Well, I understand that. That's an all-time botch. But, like, Nike, you couldn't, you know, Phil Knight, it's like you're fighting him to get some more money out of him. There were some inaccuracies on that. Anyway, but when the Lakers brass is fighting, Jerry West is like, we have to get David Thompson. So David Thompson was this unbelievable leaper, great at NC State, made his rep in the ABA because he was one of the guys who was, like, dunking from the free throw line, had a 46-inch vertical leap. But he's like, we have to do this. And then it comes down to a power struggle between him and Westhead, and Westhead wins out. You know what happened to David Thompson? You know what would have happened if they had traded for David Thompson? Absolute cocaine junkie. He was done in the NBA.
Allegedly.
He was – no. That's not allegedly.
Junkie, I think you have to say allegedly no matter what. You can argue that it's
go
not.
Go look it up. He was like he –
There's not a definition, though.
He was out – he had cocaine issues.
Yes.
That's well publicized.
Yes, that's fair.
I mean, everyone in the NBA did apparently.
Yes.
But, like,
allegedly.
West loved that trade. And I think it was Norm Nixon going in the trade, who then they turned around Norm Nixon to bring in Byron Scott.
Pretty good move.
Yeah, kind of a good move on the back end instead of freaking David Thompson.
I mean, it's also easy to say. I'm sure that's the kind of thing. Again,
like if he had come to L.A., he wouldn't have gotten in trouble in L.A. with coke.
No, but
that was the Denver market.
People get all fired up, and they say – you know, things like, yeah, you know, it's not accurate. It's not true. It's not what happened. Maybe it wasn't, but it's what somebody told the author, which is Perlman. Somebody told the author that is what happened. It's not like he just made that part up. That's what was told to him. And I'm sure it was somebody trying to cover like, hey, this is what I liked and this is what they liked. And that's how it came about. So if you are upset with historical inaccuracies at any time, it's not that you're mad at Perlman. You're mad at the people who told Perlman.
Storytellers, yeah.
Yeah.
Their recollection of the time.
Yeah.
File from 2019. What became of Nugget star David Thompson after injuries and cocaine derailed his path to all-time NBA greatness? There you go.
I'm not suggesting that saying he used cocaine is an issue. It's calling him a junkie.
Yeah, he said, I was stuck in that pity pot for a long time regretting all the cocaine I had done and how my life was ruined by cocaine. I added cocaine in there a couple times. Yeah, before addiction sapped his ability, Thompson helped us realize what was possible on the basketball court. That's very dreamy. And I'm not rooting against David Thompson because, you know, not like I was watching basketball hardcore and could even process it from 8 to 11 years old, but he had a chance to be an all-time great. And I guess, hey, if he'd gone to the Lakers, maybe he would have been straight, but I don't know.
Didn't work out with Spencer Haywood. We saw that in season one.
Right? That era was, I mean, if you had... I mean, I do believe there are physical things that make you more susceptible to addiction. If you have it, it's tough.
Yeah.
Especially in that era because it was so widely accepted.
So and so everybody wanted to give it to you because they wanted to party with you.
Yep. Damn. Poor David Thompson. I went from laughing to now I feel bad.
Well, you called him a junkie, so.
Well, he was.
Okay, Steve.
I mean, Keith Hernandez was too. Ron LaFleur. There were a bunch of good baseball. They went to trial for the whole thing. And then Hernandez freaking flipped and snitched. These are historical items.
You would have stayed strong?
Well, I've already told the story a million times. You're right. I guess if I had been born in 64, then maybe I would have been a cocaine guy in the 80s. I doubt it. I had a good upbringing. I was not a partier. I wasn't even a drinker.
But since you were born in 48, you were kind of too old.
Because I was born a little later than the Len Bias thing happened. And I talked about this last week. Just like Juicy J, right? Is that who it was? That Juicy J said, hey, I saw the Len Bias thing, and after that I was like, I'm not, you know, if I do it, I'm going to die, like Len Bias.
Yeah. I meant stay strong during trial.
Oh, during the trial
when
I flipped?
Yeah. Said he snitched.
Well, I don't know. You know what? I got to examine that. I got to, there's a lot of.
You'll take the years?
I would flip so fast.
I know. What are we talking about? I hate that word, snitch.
Every case, every case is different. Like, who are you flipping on? What's the threat if you do flip? How much danger will you be in?
I'd rather be in danger here than not in jail.
Yeah. If you tell me you got 3 months, I'll enjoy these 3 months on the outside rather than on the inside.
No, I would do 3 months.
Do you ever think about that when you watch, like, Oz? You ever watch Oz on HBO?
No.
Yeah.
But it's a, I know, like, it's a prison.
Like, could you survive?
No, not the way that show was set up. Man, people were getting killed off every week.
Well, you got to freaking join some group, and you probably got to hate.
But what happens when your first day in, you're cellmates with Adebisi?
I mean, you got to toughen up and take it. I guess.
I think 3 months I could do.
What are you gonna do, Damon? Don't laugh.
If it's more than that, I'm gonna flip.
3 months is your limit.
I think so.
You ever watch that show, 60 Days In?
I mean, it's like I think so. Look at I think so. I think I do 3.
I just say put me in the hole.
Yeah, I would definitely want to be in solitary.
Do you just come in right away and just get violent with someone small? Just beat the hell out of them?
Not even that.
And then do it like the second time you come out?
I could definitely do 3 months if it wasn't football season. Okay. It would be tough during the season. You're missing games and summer, though.
God, this is such a good topic. Because I was just thinking about all these people who get to go to the – who were the idiots who were in the freaking college scandal? Where they're paying for their kids.
Oh, Aunt Becky.
Yeah, Aunt Becky. Like, you know they've had their freedom taken away for like 2 years or a year and a half, and they're in a country club with TVs. They probably have the packet. Probably have a better TV package than I do. And YouTube. They're like, oh, you know, this is rough. Like,
bet they had CBS.
Rough.
Yeah, shouting out YouTube TV like Mick Lombardi.
Ask Michael Vick what prison's like. Because they didn't send him to country club. No. They sent him to Leavenworth.
Yeah. I mean, I'm saying I could do 3. I don't know.
You couldn't do anything, nor could I. At this age, I got nothing.
No, but he's a big guy. Maybe they would just give him that respect off the rip.
No, ask him all of his experiences with a lot of his experiences. Well, is it more fighting than football? The big guys actually gravitate to you in football. Like they think you might have played some football.
Yeah, a little bit.
But the big guys in MMA are like, I want to fight that guy.
That's true.
I think if Brock Lesnar could have punched you in the face instead of slapped you really hard on the back a bunch
of
times.
He flinched at me.
He flinches at
Brock Lesnar?
Oh, yeah.
All right, dude, you're not going to disrespect Brock Lesnar.
Yeah. And that was, and like I said the other day, that was Brock at like full of whatever to be 6'5". Like he grew.
Allegedly.
When he was in the UFC. 5 o'clock hours on the way.